Good morning to you all. Good morning. Where two or three are gathered, the Lord is here. I know the Lord is here this morning. And this morning I just want to share something that the Lord has been really putting in my heart over the last couple of months, in fact. And at the moment there's a lot going on in the world around us. If any of you look at the news, I mean, it's not worth looking at, unfortunately. If you ever want to get depressed and down and feel like, yeah, never mind. Just have a look at the world around you. But there's a lot going on in our lives. There's a lot going on in the lives of the people around us as well. And it brought me back to a scripture that is probably, if not the very first, one of the very first memory verses that we ever had. And that is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight." So it's difficult sometimes when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Because I don't know about you guys, but there are days when I wake up and I think, oh my word, look what's going on. Look what's happening. This is what's happening here. What's happening there? And it's to bring that trust back to where it needs to be. And that is, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding. Because if we start to look at what's going on around us in our own lives maybe, there is no understanding. And trying to understand it, you can end up in a really tough place. Because if we try to intellectualize what's going on in our hearts, going on in the world around us, and we're not seeing it in the spiritual, we can become very depressed. We can get really quite carried away and caught up in it. And you know, what I'm really interested in this morning, what the Lord has challenged me is, if I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, what is in my heart to begin with? And Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life," or the issues of life flow out of it, depending what version. But it very simply means that you need to look after your heart. What do I mean by that? You know, what are we guarding? What is in our heart to begin with? I think we need to start from there. In other words, if you're going to trust what's in your heart, trust in the Lord with all my heart, what am I trusting? Who am I trusting? Why am I trusting? And, you know, we look at the scriptures, and I start off with Ezekiel, where he says, "I'll take from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I'll put a new spirit in you." And so we start from the fact that when we get born again, the Lord puts a new spirit in us. Jono last week said that the Lord has softened his heart. Yes, but more than that, the Lord has changed his heart. He has given him a new heart. He's put a new spirit in him. And we need to look at the fact that all of us, if we're born again, that is exactly what we have. We have a heart of flesh where we don't have tablets of stone like Moses, but as the Lord says, that his laws are written on our hearts. And it's our hearts that determine our outlook on life. When I say a heart, we understand we're talking about the spirit of man and the spirit of God, which comes together in your heart to make us what we are, born again, believers in Christ. And it's an incredible miracle. You know, when you look at your own life, maybe it was so long ago, some of you, not all of us, and you forget what an incredible miracle it was and what God changed in your life. I watched Jonah, and to me there's an absolute miracle of God happened there. And who was responsible? Any of us? Not a chance. It was the Lord. The Lord moved, and he orchestrated, he all put different places, people in places to make sure that his plan, his purpose was to come about. And so we look at Jonah's life and we think, wow, but it's a miracle. And what we need to understand is that when we get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Jesus lives in us. In us. And if we look at 2 Corinthians 4, it says that we have this treasure in jars of clay. What does that mean? It means we have this incredible treasure in this very frail, flawed weak, emotional body. And whether we like it or not, we are in the flesh. We are nothing. But we have our own ideas and our own thoughts and our own agenda, for want of a better word. But you know, it says that in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 4, I think it is, says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are sealed in Him. We belong to Jesus. Who lives in our heart? Jesus lives in our heart. The Holy Spirit lives here. I'm going somewhere with this, don't worry. This is not a... And I wanted to just make you realize that right from the beginning, the Lord has always been concerned about our hearts, where our hearts are, what do we hold in our hearts. And you go all the way back to, let me read it with you, Deuteronomy 4. If you, I know it's a long way back, Deuteronomy 4. It's just after Imaginations 4, just we go there. So Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. And this is when Moses is giving his commandments and he commands obedience to the Lord, which is where we're going a little bit this morning. And he says here in verse 9, "Only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life, and teach them to your children and your grandchildren." But he says, diligently keep yourself. Diligently keep your heart right. Because if we don't keep our heart right, we're going to end up in the situation where the flesh starts to take over. But when we have the Holy Spirit in us, the Holy Spirit prompts us, it guides us, it leads us to where we need to be going. And you know, we cannot mistake or misunderstand that as we get older, as time goes on, we can lose sight of that miracle that God has performed in our lives. We start to lose sight, and we can end up with a heart that is hardened, possibly. But we need to be careful that when we get born again, we can't just leave it and say, okay, I'm born again, hallelujah, we can move on. There's a necessity, there's a need for us to grow in the wisdom, and Peter says, to grow in the wisdom and understanding of the Lord. In other words, are we spending that time making sure that that deposit that we have, we've been given this incredibly precious deposit in our hearts, are we spending time, A, feeding it, looking after it, nurturing it, and protecting it? When I say protecting it, right now in the world today, there are so many voices. You know, you listen to media, and you know, you can be carried away. I don't know about you guys, but I read books now and again. I stopped reading every book I could find on Christianity and how to do this and how to do that and the gifts of the Spirit. I stopped reading books quite a long time ago. When I say stop reading books, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But you need to be careful, because quite often when you're reading somebody's book, you're reading about their revelation, not yours. And yes, it's good to encourage you. They're there to encourage you. But be careful that you don't rely on that revelation of that man or that woman. You need to have your own understanding, your own revelation of what the Lord is doing in your heart and has done in your heart. So we need to be careful. I'm not saying you shouldn't read books written by other men and women, okay? But it's to be careful that you don't take their revelation, and that's what you live in. You need to live in the revelation that you get from the Word of God by spending time with them in the relationship you have with them. So it's just something I've come to see. You know, sometimes we get distracted. If we're not feeding the heart, if we're not looking after the heart, we get distracted, we get caught up, and our focus is on the world around us, what's happening out there. And we can start to get led astray. And as we say, we go down a rabbit hole, which has got nothing to do with what the Lord wants. We get led astray. And so this morning, I wanted to encourage us that we need to focus on nurturing and looking after this treasure, this deposit that's been put in our hearts. Because whether you like it or not, over the years and over time with different situations and circumstances, you can end up distancing yourself a little bit. You can end up with sin in your life, I'm not talking about big sin, even some other things that maybe not be counted as sin. But they take you away from where the Lord wants you to be. And we need to be asking the Lord and saying, Lord, please show me. You know, we're going to have communion later on. You know, Paul in Corinthians, he says, examine yourself. Where is your heart? And we need to examine ourselves. And we're not talking about an annual stock take, eh? We're talking about a daily, twice daily if necessary, but a daily look at ourselves. Say, Lord, where am I this morning? Where is my relationship with you? What am I doing that is pleasing to you? Or what am I doing that's not pleasing to you? And I can assure you, you can ask that question. The Lord will answer you, I can assure you. He will show you very clearly. Whether you choose to obey him or not is another story. And we can neglect this treasure. And Jesus in Luke 21, when he's talking to the people, he says, be careful that your hearts are not weighed down with the concerns and the affairs of the world. Because when we allow the concerns and circumstances and the affairs of the world to weigh our hearts down, to affect us, we lose sight of the Lord. Peter, when he was on the water, Andrew mentioned earlier on, when he was on the water, what happened? He was fine when he's looking at Jesus. But as soon as he looked around at the circumstances, he was gone. And just an aside, quite often we like to change our circumstances because I need to get right with God. So I'll change my circumstances. You can do what you like. You can change your circumstances. You can change your diet. You can go to gym. You can go running. You can do what you want. You think you can change the circumstances. Unless your heart changes, changing your circumstances will do absolutely nothing. My wife and I, many years ago, we decided we'd do, it's going back some time, said we'd try and do this, we'd do that. And you know what? Our hearts weren't in the right place. And you know what happened? 5 or 6 years later, we ended up in exactly the same place where we'd started from. Because our hearts weren't for the Lord. We tried to change our circumstances, but it does nothing for you. It's your heart that needs to change. And so you might say, no, but okay, I'm born again. When the Spirit is there, nothing, you know, that's fine. But you know what? We can, in fact, get to the stage of ignoring the Spirit, of pushing the Spirit to one side. Now, I know none of you have been there, but I know the Lord has. There have been times when I have ignored the prompting of the Spirit. And the more you ignore and put aside the Spirit, the more you're able to do it. And yes, we can be born again, and I'm a believer that if you're born again, you're born again. That's it. But we can end up in some very dark, dark places when we actually go our own way. When we allow our flesh to lead us down a path, hey, it's terrifying. The consequences, what you still have to live with. We live with consequences of our lives. You know, she's sitting there. What I'm saying is we need to be very careful of not ignoring the Spirit. And you know, people say, no, it doesn't really happen. Well, it's happened in my life, and I know some people it doesn't happen. But, you know, you look at the Israelites. They escape from the Egyptians. They cross the Red Sea miraculously. The wheels of the Egyptians. You know the expression, the wheels fell off? You know where that comes from? When the Egyptians went through the sea after Moses had parted it, it says their chariot wheels fell off. Think about it. Anyway, that's an aside. But we end up sometimes looking back, we see this all, we see the miracles, you're going to the desert, you get manna, you get fed and watered. Your clothes never wear out. That would probably disturb some ladies, I know, but your clothes never wear out, so you never have to get new ones. You never have to get new shoes. You never have to get nothing. It's all done for you. And what did the Egyptians do? I mean, what did the Israelites do? They bleated. They were not content with what the Lord had done. They had manna every day. Yeah, this manna stuff, you know, really, I need something else. And yes, the Lord catered for them. He gave them fresh meat. But they still complained about everything. They've been free, set free from slavery. But a lot of them bleated and said, I want to go back. I want to go back to the onions and the garlic and the green veggies. And this manna stuff is just, okay, it's enough now. They did not see. And they wouldn't accept what the Lord had done for them. And we need to be very careful because we can go the same way. And we need to be careful about that. You know, that's if you ever want to read that up, by the way, it's in Numbers 11, where it's literally a whole chapter about the Israelites bleating, which I sometimes look at my own life and I realize that it was not just them, but we're capable of doing that as well. And we've got to be careful about what we put into our hearts. As I've said before, there's a lot of false preaching out there. There's a lot of false prophets, a lot of pressure from New Age movements, from men who claim to be Christians but who don't preach the gospel. The cross is not involved. Repentance is not involved. You know, and we can allow ourselves, if we're not allowing the Lord to speak to us and the fellowship with one another, the fellowship of the Lord, the scripture reading, the praying, our hearts can begin to harden, just like the Israelites in the desert. And what happened to them? They just kept wandering around the desert. And I believe that for some of us, and we've been there, where we've hardened our hearts and we've wandered around in the desert. But I don't want to stay wandering around the desert. I want to cross into the promised land. I want to be in that rest that God has put there for us. So we need to be very careful. I just want to read to you from Colossians 3. And, you know, we read the parable of the virgins, which I'm not going to do now. But, you know, the parable of the virgins, there were five wise and five that weren't wise. The wise ones, what they did, they had the oil. They prepared. They were making sure that everything they needed for the bridegroom was there. In other words, they spent time making sure the oil was there. And the oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. Emma was sharing, praying this morning about the oil. The oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And if we're not making sure that we're in that place where we're listening to God, allowing Him to fill us, allowing Him to prepare us, allowing Him to bring us to the place we need to be, we can end up like the other five virgins, where you're not ready. Because, you know, the Lord says, I shall come like a thief in the night. And we never know. Maybe as you get older, you become a little bit more sensitive to time frames, you know. When you're young, strong, and bulletproof, it doesn't seem to matter too much. And we've been there. And so we want to make sure that we don't end up in a place where we have in our hearts this issue of worry, of anxiousness, of being in that place where you allow the pride to come up, you allow the covetousness to come up, you allow lust to come up. Because when you're not focusing on the Lord and allowing Him to input into you, that's what happens to you. And it sits there the whole time, and you end up in a place of sin. What separates us from God? What separates us from the fellowship of the Lord? It's just sin. And if we live in a place of unrepentant sin as a Christian, you know, the Lord can't talk to you. You may not be wanting to talk to the Lord, so I suppose that works both ways. But we need to be careful that we don't end up in a situation where the more and more we don't speak to the Lord, the less and less we want to speak to the Lord. And you end up in that place where you are no longer talking to Him, spending time with Him, being in that place where He can actually look after you. You decide to take your own life in your hands and do what you want to do, which is always dangerous. So I wanted to read to you from Colossians 3, verses 15 and 16. Okay. It says here, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and to be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And that's just to emphasize, you know, he's encouraging the Colossians, spend time with me. Spend time with one another, singing psalms, sharing with one another. We need to fellowship with one another to encourage one another. That's why the Lord gives us a body, because we are there to share with one another, to encourage one another, to lift one another up. We're not there for ourselves, guys. We're not there for ourselves. And we need to be careful that we are allowing that Lord, the Lord, to do this work in us, to bring us that place of maturity. Otherwise, we stay as an immature. Peter speaks about people who are not growing. He says, you still crave milk. We need to move on to the spiritual meat of the Lord. And in Romans 12:1-2, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does it talk about? It talks about input. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing cometh by the word of God. Who is the word of God? Where is the word of God? Jesus lives within us. The Holy Spirit lives within us. We just need to allow him to lead us, to guide us, to take us to those places we need to go. How many of us are truly responsive, to the prompting of the Spirit each and every day? Because it can be quite a difficult thing. When you get caught up and you get busy, you wake up and you get going, and at the end of the day you think, wow, I haven't spoken to the Lord today. And that shouldn't be as a Christian. You know, in John 15, we talk about the vine and the branches, and the Lord says, abide in me. Spend that time connected to me. Don't let go and go your own route. Abide in me. And what fruit are we bearing? I know the fruit is not for ourselves, but what fruit are we bearing? Are we bearing fruit? Or are we a barren tree, you know, like the fig tree that Jesus cursed? That always worries me a little bit, but we need to examine ourselves. Are we bearing fruit, and what fruit are we bearing? It doesn't matter if it's small fruit and it's sparse. Is there fruit? If there's no fruit, I think you need to have a serious examination of yourself and say, Lord, where am I? Who am I living for? Me? Or am I living for you? Who's on the throne of my life? You or me? And there are some days I wake up and I realize that the Lord has been sort of put to one side while I go and do my own thing. And that is very, very dangerous. And we need to be careful that we're not like the Israelis, that we don't harden our hearts. Because when you harden your heart, you can't hear what the Lord is saying. And more than that, you have difficulty with the fellowship. You have difficulty with forgiveness. You have difficulty with lust. You have difficulty with covetousness. You have difficulty in just fellowship in the body, because you're over here. And the Lord wants us to be part of his body. There's no, I'm by myself. No man is an island. The Lord wants us to be part of a body, and we need to be part of that body. We need to be seeking where we fit into that body. All of us have a different place. There's none of us that's the same. You know, we need to have hearts that I'll use the word tender. We need to have hearts that are willing, available. We need to have hearts that are soft before the Lord. We need to have hearts that are prepared to submit to the Lord's instruction. We need to have hearts that are listening and obeying what he wants. We need to have hearts that say, yes, Lord, no argument. How many of us actually argue when the Lord shows us to do something? None of you, I'm sure. How many of you actually discuss with the Lord? Lord, you know, I'm not too sure about this, but maybe can't we do it this way or do? I know that we go there. I go there, and I have to check myself. Lord, what do you want? Because all of us have got our own ideas, our own opinions, but God does not need your help. He doesn't need you to show him how to do it. Please, we need to understand who's in charge. Who is the boss? And life is so much more peaceful when we say, yes, Lord, I will obey you. But man, do we get stubborn. Do we get stubborn? You know, in Psalm 32, it speaks about people who accept the Lord, and it speaks about people who don't. And where the Lord, like the Israelites in their time in their promised land, long time, they railed against the Lord. They refused to do what the Lord wanted. They rebelled. They were independent. They didn't want to listen to him. Guess what? He brought a judgment upon them, a harsh judgment, because they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't obey him, do what he wanted. when they were in that judgment, in that terrible place, they all repented and said, hallelujah, Lord. So what did he do? He brought them back, rebuilt the temple, rebuilt the walls. And guess what happened? They just went back to where they were. And I just look at that, and that's, we've got to be careful, because all of us have got that in us, that little bit of rebellion, that little bit of independence in us. And we need to guard against that. You know, we are born independent. We are born rebellious. No, maybe not you guys. Sorry, I am. You think about who you are, where you've been. We are born into that rebellious, that independent streak. We are born with a stubborn streak. And sometimes you've pushed the Lord. Sometimes I have pushed the Lord to the limit by being stubborn, saying, no, Lord, I don't think that's the right plan for my life. And all that happens is you fighting the Lord. Like they said to Paul, Paul, why are you kicking against me? Why are you fighting me? Because, you know, when you fight God, you're going to lose. I just warn you now, just in case you're considering fighting the Lord and carrying on fighting the Lord. Because when you fight the Lord, you will lose. Because the Lord is patient. And one of the things that I find is that for a lot of us, we go to the Lord with our plan. We go to him and we seek approval for our plan. Say, Lord, this is what I want to do. Thank you. Instead of going to him and saying, Lord, what should be my plan? And spend time in waiting on his answer, waiting for what he wants. Because, you know, often we go to him and say, Lord, this is what we should be doing. I know this is what we should be doing. Right, I want your approval. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord doesn't go there. The Lord just does not go there. And we've got to be very careful. You know, when you look at the prodigal son, I love the prodigal son, because in a lot of respects, I am one of them. And the grace of the Lord on my life, I don't understand it. I'm just so grateful for it. But the prodigal son, when he left, he came to his father and he said, I want my inheritance. He didn't sit down with him and discuss, saying, listen, I want to go overseas for a couple of years. Can you just, maybe we can undertake, make a plan. He went and said, I want my inheritance, give me. There was no discussion. And he took his inheritance, and what did he do? We all know the story. He squandered it. And we need to be very careful that we don't get the same way. You know, we come sometimes to the Lord and ask him to agree, to approve. Please bless me, Lord. This is my plan. Please bless me. And you know, it just does not work like that. And often, if our heart's not in the right place, we try to justify everything we do. We try to get vindication for everything that we do. But you know, in the end, it's up to us to come to the Lord and say, Lord, you show me what you want. Allow my heart to be willing and open. Maybe our hearts aren't right. Maybe our hearts aren't in that right place. How do we go about it? It's simple. We say, Lord, forgive me for where I've been. Forgive me. Let me forget what's behind. I want to go forward with you. Lord, help me. I want to be willing and obedient to you. Please, Lord, show me. Because the Holy Spirit lives within us and he is available. You know, the Holy Spirit, I don't know if you guys realize that when you're in the wrong place and your heart is a little bit separated from God, the Holy Spirit can't do anything. He won't do anything. But you know, when we call out to the Lord, literally, it's instant. The Lord is there. And we've got to get away from our independence and our stubbornness and say, Lord, I'm yours. And as I said before, it's very difficult to give up your own understanding, your own wisdom, your own thoughts of what it is you should be doing. And allowing the Lord to show you and say, look, this is where I want you to be. And quite often, you know, the Lord wants to get our attention. It's like with the Israelites too. I mean, he destroyed the entire northern kingdom. That certainly got their attention. What about Judah? Nebuchadnezzar came along and took it apart. But all those people were kept and the remnant was allowed to return because they came to that place and saying, okay, sorry, Lord. We want to serve you. And the Lord let them come back. But they wouldn't listen. It's amazing. We need to be available. The The question is, do we have that desire? Do we want the Lord to change us? Do we want to continue to grow, to mature, to be in that place where we are men and women of God serving him in spirit and in truth? And it's a decision you've got to make, because the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. And you know, we need to understand that sin, unrepentant sin as a Christian, separates us from God. And it stops the Lord being able to, I say, help us. The Lord can't do anything if we've got our own life in our hands. We can do what we want. But in the end, the Lord cannot do anything for us. You know, are we submitting and allowing the Lord to work in our life? Do we desire him to work in our lives? Because, you know, it's very simple. It doesn't matter where you are. You can say, Lord, please, come into my life. Well, you're in my life. Sorry, Lord, I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to surrender myself to you and allow you to do that work in me. And, you know, we can be dogmatic about where we are in terms of principles, and that's, I've met some religious men in my life, and one or two ladies, and religious people are dogmatic, they're principled, they stand on what they believe is the truth. But most of the cases, it's religion, it's law, it's legalism, and it's got nothing to do with the Holy Spirit and the Lord. Because the Lord has set us free, and we are free from that stuff. But for some people, they hide behind this facade of religiosity, a big word. But it's what's inside that matters. Like I said to you, what fruit are you producing? Are you producing fruit? You know, we need to hold fast. We need to, in fact, let me read to you from 2 Timothy 1. It's in here somewhere. I want to read to you from 2 Timothy 1, verses 13. 2 Timothy 1, sorry guys, we'll get there. In 2 Timothy 1, where Paul is talking to Timothy and encouraging him, and he talks to him about, don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord and the gospel. And he goes on to say, in verse 13, it says, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And we need to keep it, but we can't just keep it. We've got to do something about nurturing it, bringing it to that fulfillment, because only in that place where you're obedient to the Lord and allowing him to work in you can we actually have that peace, that rest. Doesn't matter what about your situations. It really doesn't matter about the circumstances. But you have that peace of Christ and let it dwell richly in you. You know, we look at, let me just read, and I'd like to read to you again from Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, verse 17 says here, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. And it says, and carries on, but that is not how you've learned Christ. Indeed, if you heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning these old habits and problems. Whether we like it or not, we have this flesh, we have this body, this carnal man that we have to cart around. And we need to be careful not to let it run our lives. And the Lord is very clear that he wants us to be in a place of understanding what he wants to do in our lives and not what we want to do. The difference that a right heart attitude can make is incredible. And a right attitude of heart will change almost everything around you. When you change your attitude of heart, your circumstances change. Maybe you see them in a different way, but the Lord gets involved and your circumstances change. You've got to stop and say, Lord, you show me. When we change, our circumstances will change. And you know, we live with a very gracious God, a truly, truly gracious God. And in Philippians 4, it says, by prayer and petition, bring your requests to God. And we need to understand that when anything we need of the Lord, we bring it to him in faith, knowing that he will answer us. And he says that the peace of God will guard our hearts in Christ Jesus. Who do we trust? Who do we trust? Who are we trusting in? What is it that we're trusting in? Are we certain that we know the scriptures? Then when somebody says to us, there's that scripture there, that's what he says. Is that what you understand? You don't have to know the whole Bible, but you do need to know some scriptures. Do you look up a scripture just to confirm that that is what the Lord is saying? We need to be very, very careful because we have a truly gracious God, and it is our responsibility to keep our hearts where they need to be, serving him, soft before him, obedient to him, wanting to do what he wants. Do we get it right every time? No. But do we have a repentant heart? We can say, Lord, forgive me, please. The Lord is gracious. He wants us to come to that place. He will do whatever is necessary to build us into those people that can be part of his body and part of his kingdom. And, you know, he will guard it. When we have got to do our part, we have a responsibility to look after ourselves. But when we take that responsibility seriously, the Lord will get involved and he will help us to bring us to that place where he can use us. To give us that peace, that we can come to a place of rest. And you know, we can look at ourselves or we can look at the Lord. And this morning I want to encourage you. You know, Jonah has a, let me start. In Hebrews 12, it says we need to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's who does it for us, not us. And Jonah's favorite scripture has always been mine too. It says that Paul, when he's speaking, says, I am certain that the work that the Lord has started, he will bring to completion. He will finish the work he started in you. The question is, are you prepared to let him do that? Because so often we get to that stage where we stop him working in our lives. And I know he wants so much, much more for us. And it's just to seek him and say, Lord, what do you want? Show me what you want, Lord. And then be willing. The hard part is when he shows you what he wants and then, are you willing to do what he wants? And that's that obedience. You know, the Lord says, I desire obedience before sacrifice. He'll do what he wants. He just wants us to be obedient to him. Right back in Deuteronomy, he talks about the obedience. Listen to me and obey. That's all I want. And it is so difficult for us. But you know, the Lord can do the impossible. When we allow him into our lives and the Holy Spirit to change us, nothing is impossible. So this morning, I want to encourage you to allow the Lord to do that work in your hearts, because no matter where we are, we still need more understanding. We need more wisdom of the Lord. We need more understanding of the Lord. We need to grow. And no matter where we are, down here or up here, it doesn't matter. Are we allowing that growth to take place in our lives? So, guard your heart. It's a wellspring of life. The Lord has done something very, very precious, very special for us. And we need to look after what he's given us. It's a deposit that we need to take care of. Amen. So this morning, because of that, we talked about guarding our hearts. And in Corinthians, Paul speaks, when we take the table of the Lord, he says to examine your hearts. And so this morning, the reason I wanted to do the communion after is that I believe it's a time where the Lord is speaking to us all. The Lord is wanting more for us and more from us. And we can only do that by making sure that our hearts are before him in a place where we're saying, Lord, I'm yours. If we've got unforgiveness, an unrepentant heart, or there's issues in your life, it doesn't matter. Lord, forgive me. And we know that as we ask forgiveness, that forgiveness is there instantly. So this morning as we come up, I don't want to spend time in it, but please just examine your heart. Say, Lord, what do you want from me? Where am I? Show me. If we need to repent, repent. If you need to praise and worship, praise and worship. Whatever we need, allow that Lord to speak to you. And not just to speak to you, but to work in you. Allow him to do the work in you. So this morning, if you just come up, what we'll do is we come up and take the elements, and then we'll share them together.